Welcome to Coffee Recruiter. In this episode, we've got probably the most exciting recruiters in Australia at the moment, or my favorite, Adam and Harvey from Howell Consulting. Guys, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Mate, we're good. Thanks for the massive rap. Hopefully what we say over this next hour stands up to it, eh?
I'm a fan. I watch the videos every time. Like, I'm a big fan. So I think to start off this conversation, what's the current state of your market, right? The employment market. What are you seeing? What are the trends at the moment? What's the state? I know you're in construction, and Harvey, you specialize in finance. What are you seeing in those areas?
Probably two different answers. I know from my side, being construction, still busy. I think it's been crazy for the last 3 or 4 years since COVID hit. Yeah. It's definitely tapered off now, where it's still a healthy level, but not as mental, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. The salaries, I think, that were getting thrown around. But untenable. It couldn't maintain that. So they've leveled out now, and it's now definitely a case of value. People want to know what they're paying, they're getting value for, which for us is the right market. And it's the same with the people who are getting the jobs are the best person for the job, not necessarily the first. So from the recruitment side, it's good because, you know, if you find a good contract administrator, site manager, project manager, represent them to good companies, yeah, the fit's going to work rather than potentially a bit of desperation creeping in and the first person getting the job.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely changing. On the finance side of things, we kind of call it the gravy train that we all had post-COVID, where people just throwing around silly money. You know, you were asking for 3 or 4 days work from home. Yeah, we'll do, the employer would do whatever they had to do to get you over the line effectively, because there was such a shortage. And I think companies had grown and they just needed people through the door. So what we're seeing is the employers are definitely pulling back. People are coming back into the office, less work from home. And yeah, where people were throwing around silly money and people were making a move and getting a 15 or a 20K pay increase, that's definitely come back to kind of more sensible jumps like your 5, 10K. So as Ad said, that's where you have to really look into the value. You know, what's this candidate going to provide in value for the employer? But also candidates are probably having to look where, okay, it's not just the monetary value that I'm going to make this move. Why is this organization best for me? What are the, you know, the personal progression? So it's definitely changed the dynamic, but it's been good.
So what are you finding then are the winners? What are those organizations that are retaining their staff and the candidates are really coming, gravitating towards? What are you finding? What's the culture? What's an organization that someone wants to work for at this market?
Yeah, I think being proactive is probably in a nutshell the way to go, rather than sitting and waiting until your project managers quit for 20 grand. Can we look at our salaries across the business and go, that's what the market's paying, let's bump them up. Saves them paying people like us for a recruitment fee. Yeah. So you probably save money in the long run as well. Having the consistency of projects, never easy in construction, because it's always, you know, dependent on tenders and this developer getting this money and things stacking up. But knowing people have got a pathway from, I'm a CA, then I want to go to a senior CA, then I want to become a PM. Yeah. Really putting on paper, if you stay with us, you know, Bob the Builder for the next 10 years, this is where we're going to take you from A in your career to B.
Yeah, the proactiveness is massive. I love nothing more when a company calls us and says, we're going to add an extra headcount to the team because in 6 months, our workload, our volume is going to increase dramatically. And resourcing the team correctly now so that your current team and staff, it doesn't get to a point where they hit burnout before you take a step back and go, okay, we need to add extra resources. So that's where we're seeing people, you know, keep their staff, yeah, for sure.
That's really, especially the first point where the being proactive. Like, as business owners, sometimes they fall into habits, right, of, well, if you're here, why should I pay more, right? Or why should I have a conversation about, what's the market paying? Let's just get ahead of it, or create a progression of what's your career path, where are you going, how do we make this long term, or, you know, from a project perspective, what's the next project for you, what do you want to be working on? Those conversations are not had, and people usually end up as, or candidates usually end up as just a number on a desk, and everyone wants to feel important, right? Or at least everyone wants to feel a bit prioritized. So I find that that's a really good point, and I implore all business owners to do it. So why Howell? Right. Yeah. Right. If we were to have an interview or a conversation, I'd be like, why you guys? Why?
I think there's definitely a sales pitch we can go into, mate, and take 45 minutes of your time.
60 seconds on the clock.
But I think it's, when you use Harwell, you're essentially buying the people, whether that's me and Harvey, Andy and Chloe, or another staff member joining us in a few months. You're buying people, people who know the market, they know their industry, we're based local. We do the work, which is just half as important as knowing people. You've actually got to pick up the phone and call them and meet them and get them on side. And then the last bit is we genuinely give a shit. I think the difference from coming from an agency to now owning the business, if we don't fill jobs, if we don't get clients on board, if candidates don't trust us to help their job search, we can't pay the mortgage. I can't feed my dog Murphy. We can't feed Harvey's little baby girl Blake. So it's got that level of importance now where it's not just a job, it's actually our livelihood. And I think the status that goes along with that, I want people to talk about Harwell, talk about me and Harvey's recruiters and go, those boys have got it sorted. Those boys do it right.
I think as much as we talk about the employment market changing, I think the recruitment industry is changing as well. The longer the days where it's kind of that old school approach, you know, of the big global agencies, I think we see companies now want to go and work with those boutique agencies where ad says this is our livelihood, but at the same time, we're also specialists in a very niche market. So rather than that blanket approach, the guys are coming to the specialists in each sector. Like I saw an interview with a guy at Culture Kings, and he said the next competitor to a Nike isn't going to be another Nike. It's going to be 10,000 micro Nikes that are all very good at their own individual things. And I definitely feel that's the way the recruitment industry is moving as well.
Yeah, I think even moving even from recruitment, just the service industry in general, I think we all are craving that personal touch. Like no one is in this to just feel like we're ticking and flicking and no one's putting the effort into it or it's not tailored to you. Like, you know, not a sales pitch for me, but as I plug a sales pitch, it's the same. It's the same when I look at it. It's a tailor-made approach, right? You got to tailor it to whoever you're dealing with, whether it's a client, whether it's a developer, whether for you it's a candidate or it's an organization. You have to tailor it to the individual. And if you're not a nimble organization that's not providing the buy-in and that's not being personal towards it, like that's not really going to work, because that nimble nature and being able to tailor it to the client is going to be very important moving forward. I think everyone's tired of being a number, right, in this market. And unfortunately, it's been happening a lot. And as the Gold Coast is growing and Southeast Queensland is growing, there has to be that personal touch, or even the world, because when you're talking Culture Kings, it's that you have those 10,000 micro Nikes, that still can be one organization, but it has to feel as if, you know, I'm coming home or I'm coming into an environment that's tailored to me, and creating that feeling is very important. So for candidates, right, what do you look for in candidates when you're trying to help them out? And what's the advice you'd give candidates when they decide, you know, when that first light bulb hits, like, maybe I need a move? What do you recommend?
Yeah, awesome question. And what a lot of people don't think about, I think they go, I need a job, you know, let's just get stuck in. There's probably a bit of strategy in there. Understand your own strengths and your own weaknesses and the where you want your career to go. Yep. First and foremost, it's a lot easier and a lot more productive for us to work with people who are clear and driven. And that might be, I clearly know I don't know what I know. That's also fine, we can work it out. But you either got to know what you know or know what you don't. And then it would be my best advice, work with one or two recruiters who you believe, one, have got your best interests at heart, and then two, actually understand their market. You know, do your own kind of reference checks on them, speak to other people who they've used, speak to companies they've used, like you would if you're going to go and work for a new employer or for an employer if they're going to work for a candidate as well. Do your background checks. There's a lot of recruiters out there. There's a lot of builders, a lot of developers. Really, can you find the one that's best fit for you? Now, we think we're good at what we do, but we're probably not the best fit for everyone. If someone just wants the first outcome as quick as possible, maybe we're not. If you want to go and take a bit of time and you're strategic about your career and where you want to go and you've got other ideas, we're definitely probably the people to help and have that conversation with. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think even going back to the very, very start of that process, it's finding the root cause. You know, what has caused you to come to us and say, hey, I'm looking for a new job opportunity. And that's where, you know, that's on us to really kind of ask the right questions and delve into the why. Because if it's something as simple as you don't feel like you're getting remunerated at the right level. Well, before we go through and run that process, is that a conversation that you can have with your current manager, your current employer? So really finding the why and getting these people thinking about the why, because when we do that, we're then able to identify, okay, well, this is the why. How do we find that in your next opportunity, your next company, to make sure that that is something that's going to give you the longevity or the growth that you want from your career?
That's a great answer, to be fair.
That's actually, that's got me thinking. Oh, yeah. No, that's really good.
Yeah, and it's because we don't want to, okay, if we don't do that process properly at the start, we could potentially run through and, not, I don't want to say waste people's time, but, you know, we put you through a number of interviews, we put a client through a number of interviews to an outcome that we're never really going to get if the genuine reason is that perhaps, you know, they don't need to move. We only want to help people that need to be helped, is what we always say in-house.
That's actually really profound, right? Because you get paid and you move people, right? And
for we're not human traffickers, by the way. I'm sort of like that.
You could cut that off and incriminate him.
I'll reword it. You get paid to find people at home, right? Or a new, well, because you spend most of your time at work, right? And not at home. And for you to have that wherewithal to say, maybe you don't need to move, right? Sit tight. This is the best place for you. Have that conversation. Is not putting yourself first, not putting the, you know, business interest first. And it's, well, it is business interest because that's good business. It's putting the individual first and saying, this is what's best for you, and actually giving that wholesome service that we actually, that will help them in the long run, right? Because it will help with turnover, staff turnover, because what you'll see is maybe they'll go to the next job and they get paid the 20 grand extra, and in 3-4 months, they're like, you know what, I actually don't like this, I need to get paid more. So having the right reasons is really good. You know, the business part for me for this podcast is really, you know, so that we talk professionally, but I like the personal stuff, right? I like to get to know the individuals I sit down with. I find that, well, maybe it's from sport or it's from, I think it is from sport, where you like that camaraderie, you like to work with people that you feel like you're going to war with. You feel like they're your mates, you can go and grab a beer. And I try and bring that environment to the podcast, to whoever I work with. I'd like to get to know you beyond just, you know, this is the service we offer, we're Howell, this is what we do. So as part of this podcast, I like to ask a few personal questions to actually get the drivers behind who you are and what you like. The question I had for you, Adam, because I found out that, I don't know if you both played soccer, but I found out that you're pretty alright at soccer. If there's a player that you'd liken yourself to, who would it be? And secondly, what lesson have you learned from playing soccer, right, that you've applied to the business?
So player is in football terms, or yeah, if I was football. Okay. Stephen Gerrard was always a one.
I knew that was coming.
played the same position, and I think he's just, as good as he was as a player, I think the impact, well, that's not as good. The impact he had on people around him is probably the big one. Yep. He was the guy everyone would look to if the team was in the shitter, they're 3-0 down in Istanbul. Yep. You know, we need to pull this out of the hat. He was the guy who went and did that. And I do that for halves all the time.
I was going to say, yeah, 100%. He does that all the time. And mate, this deal's falling over. What should I do?
you're the Stevie Gerrard of the team?
Yes, I'm like that.
So what's the lesson that you take, your soccer lesson that you take into business, right? From playing for the years you've played, what are those values that you translate into the business?
The competitiveness is probably the easy one. We like to win, and that's not to necessarily get that person that job, it's to get the right outcome. That's the win. If that's not getting the person the job, that's the win in that situation. So we definitely like to win. We want to be the best. We want to be seen as to be the best. I say deeper than that, though. I think the understanding of a changing room, you've got potentially 20 different guys in there. They've all got different personal lives, different personalities, different statuses in the team as well. You've got the up-and-comers. You've got the senior pros. So understanding the dynamic of a changing room or, you know, a team of staff, I think has been important. And probably the care you need to give to different people to get the best out of them, and then general camaraderie as well. I think we both did play football together for many years, and we probably were the most vocal and loud of people and wanted to get a bit of culture and a bit of excitement, we'll say, for want of a better word, in the change room on a game day. And we've kind of taken that into business as well, probably not to the extent of headbutting changing room doors, but
which I have seen him do.
But just to get that team feel to it, where we are all together, we're going into a match day, which is a week of work. You know, how can we go and get that result and enjoy it along the way?
Yeah, the culture piece is massive. Like, I look back to teams we've played in together, or teams that, you know, I've played in without ads, and the teams that are always successful are the ones that are mates on and off the pitch, and you genuinely have a good time and you enjoy it. Because when you're enjoying what you do, you know, you perform well. It's the teams that don't click and it does feel like a job rather than, hey, I'm coming to play footy with my mates. That's where you get the teams that don't perform well. So that's why when we've grown the business, the first two hires we've made are people that we've known, and people that, you know, we feel align with us. And so we have kind of got that camaraderie around the business. And even the other person that's joining quite soon, we didn't know who they were, but, you know, having sat down, having two or three meetings, they've met the team. We feel like there's a real alignment with their values. So it's kind of, I guess, yeah, in a way, a mini football team we're trying to put together.
Yeah, well, it translates, doesn't it? Like, I find that competitive edge and building that team culture, the chemistry, right? Because the winning teams, they've got the chemistry. They may have a CVG, but they also need like a Fernando Torres, but they also need someone who knows their role, right? And having people that just play their roles and that are buying into the team culture and not buying into themselves, right? Because it can be about ego and I want to be the star of the show, but if this is for the team and if the team wins, everyone wins. Having that culture in a company is always going to take you far. And that's my take on it, but, you know.
Probably got a question for you. So we have our team, so it's easy to manage. Your role, obviously, you have different consultants.
Yep.
So you've got essentially a team, but they're all external with their own agenda, is probably the wrong word, but their own outcome they want to achieve. How do you go bringing everyone on side and getting that culture with really external people?
So that's a really good question. And I'll give you like the genuine answer, right?
I love it.
I'm not going to give you the political professional answer. I like people, right? And I like to find what the personality is like and tailor every conversation to that personality, right? Architects in general, they're artistic, right?
I wasn't sure what word you're going to say.
They're artistic. There's flair there. You need to allow for that artistry and that creativity to flow, and you don't want to stifle that, right? Then you've got the engineers. Some of them are just very matter of fact, and you still have to talk numbers and matter of fact, but try and rein it to, you got to fit into this agenda or this is the team vision. And what I find works very well is when everyone feels like their contribution is important, and it is, right? If you feel this is how we get the team to the destination and it's on me to get it done, people buy in, right? If they feel like they're just there and I can extend this for a week or I can extend this for 2 weeks, that usually doesn't work. So I try and make everyone understand their importance, right, and understand the importance in the bigger picture. They're not just one piece in the picture. They're an important piece in the picture. And the conversations I have with them are those. I'm just having a conversation with an engineer and just get it done. It's, you know, I'm having a chat with Tony, and Tony, this is what we need to do. And having actually buy into what the bigger picture is. And giving them some information of what the bigger picture is, because sometimes we like to silo people into, this is your silo, you just need to get this done, you don't need to worry about this. But if they understand what we're trying to work towards, you find that team comes together and everyone's working towards the same goal. So it's giving them the goal and giving them the picture of what we're working towards. That's what I try and do.
Mate, I love the way you spoke about different personalities kind of in that mix, and having to kind of talk to them on their level. Like, it's exactly the same. We've done a lot of professional development with Ryan Tuckwood at Swish, who you've obviously spoken to now. And it's about not communicating to people in the way that you like to be communicated to. It's the way that they like to. So, you know, you might have a D personality type that just wants the results, get to the point, and you have to communicate in that way. Whereas another client or a stakeholder might be more of an I, where it is more the fluff and the chat around it. So it's having to adapt those different, I guess, personalities to kind of keep everyone happy and, like you say, make them feel important.
Yeah, and what I learned, I guess the move to Australia taught me that, really, because you guys from the UK, obviously, we probably have a similar system in Zimbabwe where there's hierarchy, right? Mm. And the power distance in Zimbabwe is, that's the boss. That's the, even when you're playing soccer, that's the gaffer, right? And everyone's got a role. Where here, it's a bit... You know, we're all one mentality. So I had to learn how that works, and in learning that, then tailoring it. And I think that helps you adapt when you actually learn what the culture is like. And when you're not from the culture and you're looking at it from the outside, you're like, okay, this is how I can tap into it and actually become a part of it. So yeah. And Harvey, my question for you. So with Stevie G here, what's been the greatest benefit of having a business partner, and what has been the biggest challenge?
It's been massive. I can't recommend it enough to anyone looking to go out into business doing it with someone else, but I think it has to be the right person. We've got quite a cute story where we go back to 14 years old, where we met completely randomly at a massive football trial. So we've had that story and I guess trust that's built up over the last 14-15 years now. So one, it's definitely doing it with the right person, but once you get that right person, it makes it so much more enjoyable, but also keeps you a lot more accountable. Like, we're there to celebrate the wins with each other, we're there to get through the lows with each other. We've got a great understanding and a relationship where if we need to call each other out on something or give each other a nudge, we can, and there's never any kind of conflict or hostility around it. So it's been great, and I think we're quite lucky where we're both on the same page, and we've both got different strengths and weaknesses that kind of, when you put together, I guess, as a one business owner, we feel like we've got quite a well-rounded credential. But it's been pretty good.
What about the challenge?
The challenge? I don't think we've had one.
What do you guys butt heads on? Nothing? Like, Jesus.
We're pretty cruisy. I think there's going back to the personality types, I'm more of that D and Harvey's more of a C. So Harvey likes to be calculated, get the information, understand it, sit on it, whereas I'd rather just make a decision and then react to how that decision goes. If it goes right, great. If it doesn't, all right, we'll decide again. So depending on what is going on in the business at times, we can get slightly frustrated, but one of us is normally the right one. Let's say it's a big tender or it's an agreement we're put in place with a big company. I'm like, oh mate, don't worry about the detail, let's just get it done, bang bang, how good. Harv's will be like, well, actually, let's make sure it's something we can deliver on, there's margin in the job. And on the flip side, if it's something that I think is quite small, I was like, mate, don't worry about it, done, on to the next. What do you reckon about that?
Yeah, 100%. I think there's definitely been times where perhaps I've sat on something for too long and he kind of, that's where he steps in and gives me the push and we get it done. But then at the same time, you know, we are going on a growth trajectory that perhaps we didn't think we were going to go on initially. So it's sometimes reining it back in and putting a bit more thought into that process just to make sure it's the right thing for us.
So if you had your time back, right? Well, not even if you had your time back. What's the biggest lesson you give someone who wants to get into business? Let's say this is day one, you're starting Howl again. What's the biggest lesson you've learned, and what should they focus on?
I've got a good answer. I think you go first.
To start with, just do it. Like, we speak to so many people, and we had that same conversation with a business owner that we know on the coast of, you know, the timelines and when should we do it, and he was like, boys, just get it done, like, what are you waiting for? But I think once you have made that decision, it's making sure everything, the brand has been huge for us, so making sure everything from day one functionality is on point and it looks the part as well. you know you're a good operator, that whatever field you're in, that's why you're going to start your own business. But now it's just not you as a good operator, it's the business brand, which at the moment no one knows who you are. So as long as you're perceiving the right image and a professional image, I think that's half of the battle.
Yeah, bang on. Mine would be ask for as much help as possible. I don't know why we're so inclined to do so, ever since sporting background, but we've got zero ego in asking people who are better than us, how'd you do that? You know, can you show us what you did right, what you did wrong? Can we kind of copy that and put a Hartwell spin on it? We're definitely not, you know, naive enough to think we're business experts and we can do things on ourselves. We ask for a lot of help, and we've got a lot of good people around us who are more than happy to help as well, which has been a massive impact.
Since I started asking actually for help, because I was bad at it, it's like, I'll figure it out and do it on my own. What you realize is people are willing to help, right? Because we've all been at the starting point. It's, if you ask me, I'm more than willing to give you the lesson so that you don't have to go through the pain, right? And people are more inclined to just hear. If you ask, there you go. And you probably get more out of it than you get there faster.
100%. And I think what you've got to remember is the person that you're asking for help, they were you at the start of their journey, and there was someone else giving them help. So I think it's massive. And we are, at times we're probably pests and quite annoying with some of the people that we do look for and help. But it's just about as well, see something you like. That's what we're really good at. We see you do something, or a different business over here do something, and we go, hey, we really like that. It's putting your own spin on it. How does that fit into our business and implement it? It's just, you know, it might only be those little 1% changes, but as a whole business, you're just always moving forward. You never get stagnant. That's one thing I feel we've been really good at.
That's a, I like you mentioned 1%, because that's one of my big philosophies, like just forward progress. I read a book recently, which was about that forward progress and just the Kaizen mentality of everyone can fix an issue. And you'd be surprised what just trying to fix things every day, trying to make a change every day gets you. And you look back at the end of the year, you're like, I can't believe that I was there in January and here I am. And it's really like just sticking to it and asking those questions and making those changes. And that's what I'll ask. I'll give a call. Oh, what do you think about this? How did it go? It's very important, and it's underrated. That's probably the most underrated thing about getting knowledge from everyone. And I've said this a few times on the podcast. Like, you can learn anything from anyone, right? If you actually listen close enough, you can take away at least one lesson you can use, or something you can't use and say, sure, I'm not gonna do that. 100%. And it's just that ability to listen and just take in that one nugget, and you know, that you're either gonna use or say, I'm gonna stay away from that. That's just how I view life, and it's worked so far.
And I think it's just as important as well is being worthy of help. There's nothing more frustrating for me in particular is going out your time, getting given out your time, going out your way to help someone who doesn't use the information or doesn't put the work in or doesn't show they kind of appreciate the help as well. And I think if you can do the flip side of that and show that you're implementing what people have showed you, you're going above and beyond to try and make things better, I think people then will give you tenfold.
Yeah. I think it comes full circle as well. Like, we've had one of our big clients is really high up in the finance world, and it comes full circle where he said good people want to work with good people, and they reach out to you to offer help. You know, it was a conversation where he said, you boys ever want help in this area of your business, which is his expertise, he's like, you let me know, we'll go and have breakfast, sit down, have a coffee, and he goes, I'll give you the help we need.
I call it, you always find your tribe. All right.
Yeah, nice.
You always find your tribe somehow. People just gravitate towards each other, and oh, there you are. And it's whatever energy you put into it, you find the people that, you know, you that are within in that same mindset and the same people. Yeah, I call it, you always find your tribe.
And it feels good, right? It feels good being around people on the same energy. And that's probably the biggest blessing of starting your own thing. You can choose who you work with. You know, previously at the old agency, you'd have a list of clients I've always worked with, so you try and get them on board. Yeah. And some of them are probably dickheads. They don't want to speak to you, but you go, oh, well, they've used us before, they'll do it again. Whereas now you can, we call it your client avatar, right? Who's your ideal client? And it's good people who, yes, have capacity to give you work and help the business commercially, but also they've got the same values as you in business. They want to do the right thing. And then you're just having conversations like this, like you're just speaking to mates, if it was like pretty much every day.
Yeah. No, I really, enjoy this, guys. Like, thank you so much for coming through and doing this. I like what you're doing. Check out the LinkedIn videos there. Like, I think, and we didn't touch on this, like just being yourself in the business, right? Sometimes we get confined in being, this is what a business person looks like, this is what a professional looks like, and you never put your personality into the business. But, you know, that little thing, which is not little, of, okay, we're going to do business videos that are us, mm-hmm. and we're going to put them out there. So, okay, I like these guys. Like, I know what they're doing. Like, you're good at your job, but you're also good to work with, and you've got some personality behind you, which is missing in a lot of bigger organizations where it's, you know, it's very narrow and, you know, that's not where the world is going, I don't.
Yeah, particularly on the coast as well. I think maybe in a Sydney, a Melbourne, a London, a New York, but on the Gold Coast, people rock around in boardies and thongs. You know, they want to deal with people. And it just feels right for us, right? This is how we want to operate. We want to don't have a work self and a personal self. If you can just be who you are the whole time, then going back to attracting people as well, you attract the people who, they know what you're about. The people know from looking at LinkedIn what kind of people we are. Now they'll look at that and go, they're like good people, we'll work with them. Or they might look at it and go, actually, those two are dickheads, we don't want to work with them, which they're probably not the right kind of people for us anyway.
Yeah, it goes back to what we say about, you know, in a good football team, it's when you had fun, you're doing well. We're having fun. And when you're having fun at work, it doesn't feel like work. Like, since we launched this business, we've probably worked more hours than we've ever worked, but we say we don't feel like we're ever coming to work because we just love it, we have fun. And that shines through when you're working with people, and we do genuinely love what we do. And I think since adopting that mentality and that approach, we've had way, way better results than trying to become that mold that, you know, a large company want you to be, just because that's the way it's always been done.
Oh, no, I love it. No, really love this conversation. Guys, thanks for coming through. Thanks for doing this. When you start your podcast, I'm happy to come through.
We'll hit you up 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll be there.
You'll be on the other side of the fence, mate. Yeah. We're grilling you.
Coming soon.
More than happy to. I'd actually love to sit on the other side. Yeah. No, thanks for joining me, guys. Thanks for joining Coffee with Kuda. We'll see you next week for the next episode. Really enjoyed this chat with Harwell Consulting, Adam and Harv. So have a great week.